Good morning, Harmony to Lookalike. Thank you for joining us in worship today. Once a month, we try to do an acoustic service just to stay centered and focused on the music. So however you choose to worship in this moment, you can stay seated, you can stand, you can lift your hands, you can pray, wherever you feel that you need to be with God in this moment.
Season of my
We're in a series right now about where your treasure is. And I think it's important to focus on the relationship, personal relationship between you and God, because for me, that is where my treasure lies. So I love this song because it simply talks about the greatness of God. So whether you sing with us or just want to listen to the lyrics, this song is very, very important. This is a new song, and I love the simple message that it brings, that it's simply all about God, it's all about Jesus, no matter where we are or what we're doing.
I'm sinking down in grace. Fully immersed, though I serve. What could I give but a life laid down in worship? A billion stars can't outshine your glory. Your love is vast and your heart is kind. I give you my life and you rewrite my story to bring you praise. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all washed in your love, I have come under. I let go of pride and I lift my voice for your glory.
Sing, it's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you. You are the center of everything that we do.
and shine that light and put that light onto others. Others who may not know you. Others who may be afraid to know you, God. Help us show your love in everything that we do. Because again, it truly is all about you. Thank you for everyone in this room that walked through those front doors. Regardless of where they are in their spiritual journey, God, you love them.
Great thou art, then sings my shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great.
So this morning, we continue our sermon series, Treasure, about where and how we're investing our lives. Last Sunday, our question for reflection was, where is your treasure? Which focused on the powerful, insightful scripture passage from Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lower the volume. Ending with, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And today we continue down that line of thought about treasure and heart talk. This time our focus is going to be just on one scripture verse, which also came from the Gospel of Matthew, a statement made by Jesus that was undoubtedly, it was considered heresy at the time. And it is by the hierarchy. And in this case, what I mean by heresy is this. It's a belief that's contrary to the orthodox religious doctrine. But we're going to get to that one verse shortly. But first, I want to talk college football. College football, because it's time of that year. Baseball season's over. And while there's certainly heated rivalries in baseball, there is nothing like when you got college football. It's like, hold on to your hats, because these are well-known, historic, heated rivalries. Now, perhaps you've seen a license plate. You may have seen this license plate going around, and it's got a phrase, and it's called a house divided. Now, the example that I've chosen here is it's on our flat screens, and it emphasizes the logos of two of our local college football rivals where there's no love lost. It's UCLA and USC, and the Bruins versus the Trojans, blue versus red, and it's only 12 miles that separate these two campuses, and here in the sunny confines of LA, right? And this year is their 87th contest. Now, I had the good fortune to see the 60th contest over at the Rose Bowl, and it was a crazy wild game. And I got to tell you, there's nothing like it. It is absolutely electric. Now, though, I want to take it further, because you can pick whatever rivalry you want from coast to coast with these college powerhouses, because there's plenty to be hyped and heightened. But in this phrase, a house divided, it reminded me of something else. It's from a famous speech, and it could be, in fact, one among those as the most famous speeches ever delivered. It was by a Republican who had accepted his party's nomination as that state's U.S. senator, and it's a speech of an internal truth that history actually indicates that he eventually helped him rise to the top, and these are the words that were written actually to strike home into the hearts and minds of persons in order to rouse them to the perils of the times. And we're going to go all the way back to June 16th, 1858. And these are the beginning words of that speech given by one as recognized as the greatest U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln. And I've asked Charles Klossmeyer to share Lincoln's words with us today.
Mr. President and gentlemen of the convention, If we could first know where we are and whither we are tending, we could then better judge what to do and how to do it. We are now far into the fifth year since a policy was initiated with the avowed object and confident promise of putting an end to slavery agitation. Under the operation of that policy, that agitation has not only not ceased, but has constantly augmented. In my opinion, it will not cease until a crisis shall have been reached and passed. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other.
Thank you, Chuck. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It's interesting that back in the day, many people didn't know that that quote didn't originate from Lincoln. Do we know where it came from? It came from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. And this is what it says: if a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, well, the house will not be able to stand. Words from Jesus. So what is he telling us? And what is Lincoln referring to? Well, that competing alliances in a kingdom, a house, one's heart, will lead to destruction. For division, especially this kind of division, leads to war. And there's where that terrible disunion, in which kingdom and the house will not be able to stand, there is either going to be relentless strife, or eventually one side is going to win out and the other side is going to be crippled. And all of this leads us to today's scripture from Matthew 6, 24, and it's a solid reminder, and I'd like us to say these words together. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. No mincing words here. Stern warning with some blunt truth. And it's made clear that a house, and I want you to take it for instance that this is our personal kingdoms that it's talking about, divides itself when we serve multiple masters. To whom, for what, are our hearts being called? And is it in just two directions? Because in whom or to what do we place our trust? Because doesn't it feel like sometimes that we're just being torn asunder? We're being torn in all sorts of directions. Everyone seems to want a piece of our heart. And yet in the last part of Lincoln's speech that was recited, these are words of clarity: it will become all one thing or all the other. As Matthew 6:24 states, you cannot serve God and wealth. Other translations have they've substituted the word money in the place of wealth, and while others translate this and they use the word mammon instead of wealth. Mammon was a Hebrew word, and it meant material possessions. And these are the things in which a person would place their trust, in material things, because they're looking to objects to be their support. That's where they're going to put their loyalties, into things, rather than placing their trust in God, the divine, our creator. And I guess they really weren't paying attention to what came from the book of Psalms, because in Psalms 24:1 it says, the earth is the Lord and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. But then again, I don't know that we actually pay attention to that. Because as Christians, because somehow these words that come out of our mouths, mine, 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 they don't jibe with that, do they? Now, if we align ourselves with that concept, that truth that's laid out by the psalmist, then mammon belongs to God, right? Okay, so if that's the truth, then when we're agreeing, then we take it a step further and we've been given that mammon, so what are we going to do with the mammon, these material things? Are we going to do what we talked about last week, and we're going to hoard them and use it as buried treasure? Or are we going to take the mammon and use it selfishly or maliciously? Or will we use it honorably? I'm going to shift to the word money. Now, many of us have heard this one. Oh, well, money's the root of all evil. Well, no, we know that's not true, because in the Bible from 1 Timothy 6:10, it tells us the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That's a big difference. Now, there are people, and you may even know them, they think that they can buy their way out of any situation. They face life with their money. And I'm going to include power and influence in that as well. Because by doing that, they're wielding a dangerous weapon. And at the same time, these individuals, they define and they measure their success by their money, how much money they have. Money becomes the thing in which that's their undying love. And guess what? Money, there's never enough. There's never enough money. I got to have more, more, more. And therein lies a root of all kinds of evil. Now, I want to go back to what I said earlier, because if you remember that statement by Jesus that I said about in from Matthew 6:24, and I said that raised the ire of some folks, the hierarchy. Why is that? Because many of the Pharisees, they were taught that devotion to money and devotion to God was perfectly compatible. It was perfectly compatible, both of those. And also, that went hand in hand with this commonly held notion that earthly riches, they signify a divine blessing. You have been blessed if you're rich. You have been favored from God. You are God's favorite. You're first in line to heaven. But is that what Jesus said? Let us remind here, and it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That went over really well, like a load of bricks. In our everyday lives, as we live them, we can easily be divided. I've witnessed it in myself. I've witnessed it in others. You the same. And in numerous times, it really boils down to the way we answer a question. Whatever question or situation it is that's coming to us, it's posed before us, and it's a simple answer. It's either yes or no. Because that answer, yes or no, could impact our lives with the vision within ourselves and with others. And that can then lead to a self-imposed division that is placed between us and God. And I want to say that one again, because it is one in which we are the ones imposing that division between us and God. It is not God posing that division. That's on us. Now, I want to give you a couple examples. How many times have we said yes to various gatherings, parties, meetings, all the while we're overextending ourselves, we're overcommitted? You know, it's like, oh, I got four parties planned, and then you show up for two. But then by the end of the day, you're like, whoo, I'm just stretched ultra thin. I got nothing less, and I'm down to my last nerve. Get in all of that. Who's the one that pays the price for that decision? How many times have we said yes to that purchase that just, oh, it's sweet talk to you? You have that imagine, you got that small red devil on one shoulder and you got that sweet little angel on the other, all right? And they're both talking to you in your ears and they're just bending the ears and going back and forth, back and forth. And finally, you just relent, you give in, and you say, okay, I'm going to use my 4th, 10th, 15th credit card. And I saw this very thing happen not too long ago. I was shopping for a shirt. There's this woman at a counter. She opens up her wallet, and it's bulging. The wallet is bulging. And it's because she had so many credit cards in it. No joke, it's easily 10 plus. So I'm waiting in line to check out. She's in front, and she hands out the cashier. She hands a credit card to the cashier, and then... Just a few seconds go by, and he says, I am so sorry, ma'am. Your credit card has been declined. And she immediately replies, oh, no worries. I have another. Very nonchalant, as if, you know, it's just an everyday thing. We are so indebted as a society. We've got financial debt up to our eyeballs and our ears, and because we can't make ends meet. People are working long, extra hours, these multiple jobs, just to pay off happiness. And I'm using air quotes around happiness. And when you take all that in, whom are we serving? You see, we've overcommitted ourselves. We've overextended ourselves. And I'm guilty of that too, but it's an important reminder to us. Let's call it the Jesus reminder. Whom are we serving? While saying yes may be indeed powerful, saying no can be just as powerful, if even not more so, because it can lead to a healthier life, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Saying no, though, that may make you feel a little weird. May make you feel uncomfortable, but it doesn't come easily. And why is that? Because I believe it's the way we're programmed. We're programmed to say yes all the time. We are programmed to say yes to satisfy our needs, and we're programmed to say yes to satisfy the needs of others. But where's God in the mix? Where is God in the mix in all that I've mentioned? Where is God? Because have we actually asked God for the divine help here? About what and to whom we say yes or no? Are we taking the precious time to actually pray about it? To the divine source that can give us those answers, that direction that we desperately need, from the Spirit that can guide us so that we can live an undivided life? Now, here's some Pastor Mark truth for you. Saying no takes courage. You may feel like you're letting someone down. You may feel like you're going to be disliked, or you're going to be seen less than, or you're going to be told, you're never going to work in this town again. And trust me, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've felt it, I've lived it, rather I've lived through it, and I've had to learn the hard way. But my friends, there is power in saying no. How's that? Because then it allows you to say yes to what God really wants in your life. Using myself as an example, I tend to be a workaholic. There are reasons for that. I'm working on it. But regardless, here's where yes-no came into play recently. My go-to is work. Have it take over everything, every aspect of my life, if I'm not careful and cognizant of that. And there came this opportunity where I was basically forced to take a week's vacation, basically. And there is this part of me that was screaming, no, Mark, there's work to be done. It can't wait. That work needs me. And there's that little devil on my shoulder, and he's saying, oh, yeah, Mark, you're right, because you're going to disappoint so many people by saying yes to a vacation. I mean, what are you thinking? And, dude, you can't afford to go anywhere. You're just going to stay home and be miserable. Now, fortunately for me, I'm debt-free, thanks be to God, right? So I was able to tell the liar on my shoulder, you lying, get off, right? Because money wasn't the issue, because I had set aside savings for some eventual fun time while also contributing faithfully to the church and paying bills and the like. But note the word that I just used before, fun time, eventual. So that's when I prayed. I prayed big time. I prayed for wisdom. I prayed for clarity from God, whom I serve, to bring peace within the division that was arising in me and to give me a clear answer. And the clear answer that I heard was no, say no, Mark, to the negativity that had arisen within me so that I could say yes to what God wanted in my life, to enjoy her creation and to slow down, which I did. And in July, as some of you know, I traveled to Amsterdam, carving out time, taking care of myself, which is what God actually wanted for me. No TV, no computer. All I had was my smartphone, and I could use it when I wanted it. Enjoying the time of my life and being connected with God while I was in this state of peace. Saying no to constant work, thereby allowing me to say yes to a healthier me, so that I could be healthier for you. Given all of this, what I'm sharing with you is this. Ultimately, it's our choice to whom or what we will serve. Because sooner or later, my friends, one way or the other, we must choose, or it's going to be chosen for us because we've straddled the fence trying to split the baby, so to speak. Last week's question, where is your treasure, brings us forward, because if Jesus is truly your treasure, if we're all in for Jesus, then we have nothing to fear, because our house is then not built on sinking sand, it is built on solid rock. Amen? So That's when all of our work comes together for our good. So I'm going to leave you with two questions. Two questions. And here they are. What are the small g gods in your life? I'm going to repeat that one. What are the small g gods in your life? And the second question is, what would it mean for you to serve only God? What would that look like? Given these, I want you to give these questions some thought and reflection. I want you to meditate about it. Pray about it. Talk it out with trusted friends. These are important questions to ask and to dig into. Write it out. Walk it out. And be open to the process. I'm interested to know what you have to say about this, because guess what? We're all in this together, this faith journey. Ponder these questions, and let's also remind ourselves of the words from Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For the divine creator wants our heart, our everlasting father and mother wants our life, and God indeed wants our all. Amen. Amen.
Will you stand and sing this last song with us today? I love doing these acoustic services because it gets us a chance to do more traditional hymns that I'm sure a lot of us grew up with. And this is one of my favorite ones. Please sing along.
All to Jesus I surrender.
a while.